The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. It's Friday, the 22nd of September, 2023. I'm here with John. He's in his puffer jacket. His heating's off and he's feeling the cold. You're right, John.
Save the planet, man. Yeah, not too bad.
Save the planet, man. Yeah, he's doing that single-handedly there.
Read my puffer jacket.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Not only is it, I'm trying to put some sort of tenuous link here, but not only is it cold, it's getting colder, but the economy is definitely getting colder. And like I said recently, in fact, the title of this Taking Stock is, this is the real reason why the Bank of England have pause on interest rates. And let me just get the chart for you. You can see this. And this is a little bit worrying. In fact, I got WhatsApp pinging up here. Let me shut my WhatsApp down so people can't see what's happening. Got a friend of mine did. But look at this. Let's share this screen. Now, PMI, Purchasing Managers Index. This is the composite. That means it's a combination of manufacturing and services.
Are
a service economy. Sorry, let's share that.
You're sharing, Justin.
Yeah, I'm sharing there.
Oh, I can't see it. How very strange.
Oh, okay. Let me stop sharing and try again. Let me share screen. You see that now?
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, there we are.
Yeah.
So Purchasing Managers Index is the composite. This is, let's say, services and manufacturing. We are a service economy, pretty much 60% of services. But if you look at put those together, then you get this chart. It's at 46.8. Now, 50 is where, below 50 is contraction, and above 50, we're expanding. We're at 46.8. It's not been this bad, apart from the lockdowns, which is forced. The economy is forced to shut down. It's not been this bad, you can see, since the great financial crash. And we know what happened there. And in fact, we scroll down. This is a chief business economist, the S&P. These are the guys that, put the figures out there. And he said the broad-based downturn is gathering momentum and a few hopes there. And it's a bit, he says the same thing. And you scroll down and you see 46.8, down from 48.6. And this guy here, I think he's a conservative, but he says, particularly sharp fall in the employment component of the UK services PMI this morning helps explain the bank's decision not to raise rates, as they had cited this beforehand. Now, there were suggestions that they were talking about the CPI figures. That's why they're holding interest rates where they are. No, it's not that. The real reason is because, like, this is a super tanker heading towards the beach here, and you realise it takes a long time to turn around a super tanker. And as I said previously, we've said on the some of them, they're going to have to wind back. They're going to slow down with interest rates because the lag effect of what they're doing takes a long time, 18 months pretty much. And like I said, if you go back 18 months, they hadn't only just started hiking. And now we're seeing the effects. And so I think, now, they're all bad, because if we look at the AIM-ALL share pretty much, or the AIM-ALL share, it's been pricing this thing for a long time. It's at a 2-year low, pretty much. This is where we come from, 44% down, pretty much in 2 years. So the markets knows this. The market's not stupid. They know this. And so we are around about the bottom. And I think when official recession data is printed, the markets tend to climb because it's already been priced in. So it's not a bad thing. But that's why Bailey, all of a sudden, there was some inside information. Let's be honest. Some banks changed there. Everyone had a quarter of a percentage basis point nailed on going back 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, 2 days ago, a couple of banks came out and said, we think they're going to pause. Where did you get that information from,
No, it's economic data is looking very nasty, for sure.
Yeah, it is.
And, not massively surprising. Very, very surprising, that service slowdown is huge. I mean, there was always this idea that, people are going to have sort of one last hurrah over the summer before they've already battened down the hatches as a result of the cost of living crisis. And, that does appear now to be the case. Really, really quite horrible. The only thing I'd say is, we know what happened after the financial crisis, and this is going to sound quite gloomy, but at that point in history, governments, certainly, central banks had a lot of firepower to pull the world out of that horrendous slump. And they just don't have it anymore. The stimulus.
Well, they've got interest rates, haven't they?
All they have is interest rates.
5.25%. You've got that.
All they have is interest rates.
But they've got quantitative easing as well.
Well, they could, but then you just keep ratcheting up that.
That's going to stimulate inflation.
Which makes inflation.
And isn't that how central banks didn't even see? Oh, there may be inflationary, consequences to QE. Maybe. Of course, it is.
Lots of people did say it, and it never seemed to materialise. So it just took a very, very long time for the inflationary impacts of you know the vast amounts of QE that happened to come through, partly because we were, you know, importing deflation from other parts of the world, notably China. So
But that's it. But did you know that you're spot on, and that's it. The lag effect, especially we've got other things, you know, it's a very complex picture, but we understand the lag effect is huge. And so the lag effect of these interest rates now, you know, is going to be huge. And we've only just started seeing the start of it. We all know everyone's tightening their belts. Everyone is. And the more gloomy you get, like I said, you all got your puffer jacket on, so you don't want to put the heating on. Everyone's in that
just
mindset.
To be honest.
No, but everyone's in the mindset of be careful with your money, be careful what you do, let's not spend so much. You extrapolate that across the entire population, and of course there's going to be a downturn. And then you've got employers, you know, high costs on one end, a debt on the other end. Mm. Of course they're going to be laying off people. But like I said, do you know what? The central banks can do something, and they will do. When it comes down to the fact where people are losing their jobs in their thousands, you've got a general election next year, and similar in America is an election there. When you get that biting, you know, that's it's going to be very hard for the central banks. They will lie again. They've said right now they're going to hold interest rates higher for longer. They won't. They won't. They'll have to sooner or later realize they're going to have to stimulate, you know, employment a little bit because the economy is going to be crashing. Mm. And so don't they see around about March next year, I think, they're saying that interest rates will be coming down. That's when you'll see, in fact, it's a repetition of the great financial crash, because February, March was the bottom of 2009, was the bottom of the market there. So I think it's going to be a bit volatile. But, you know, the markets have priced this in. Don't mess with the figures in the markets. The markets see it. Ignore what the politicians say. Ignore what the economists say. The markets have it priced in. The markets have got it right here. And there are stats, I see, very well-known stats saying the worst time in markets is 6 to 12 months before a recession. We are in a recession, probably. The data will come out, the revisor figures say, oh, by the way, we were in recession, like happened back in the great financial crash, and then all of a sudden it'll start to rally. So we're not far off a rally. We are literally at peak gloom. We're not far off, honestly. I still think there's going to be a cracking Santa rally. That's what I think, anyway.
It's good to be optimistic.
You've got to be. You've got to be, haven't you? I wouldn't be an investor if I wasn't optimistic.
Well, yeah, optimistic over the long term.
Yeah, exactly. No, listen. The thing is, you don't often get 2 years of downturn in the markets. You don't often get that. That's an opportunity. I'm not saying it'll happen next week or next month. But if you go back, if someone, you know, gave you a time machine and said, when do you want to invest? You'd invest after 2 years downturn every time, because you go back to the great financial crash. Anytime there's been a recession, if you could do that, you'd be, you know, making loads of money. So this is time to be an optimist, not a pessimist. It's been priced in. We've been, you know, sliding down that hill for 2 years now. We're close. We're very close, ladies and gentlemen. Take your positions. Take your starting positions if you have spare cash. If it hasn't been eroded away by the bear. John, by the way, a quick comment. Let's sort of quick with the indices. They have sort of weakened a little bit this morning. They did start off quite well, and they've weakened a little bit. Oh, look at that. It's our favourite. Your favourite's up there, John.
Oh, it's up again, is it?
Biggest riser. All right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so Cardo's the biggest riser there. Up 4.85%. Lloyds Bank is second. AstraZeneca third. So a couple of banks. Brighton moves in there. What's the fallers today? What's taking the hit? Centrica. Why is that? Why is Centrica taking the hit? Smith. Okay, 250. Centre fallers there. Drax. SVP. Oh, okay. I don't know if you know about Inland Homes. You've got a request, John.
I do remember this, because
this is what I think Stephen said. Stephen did say, let me just get up here. He said, I realise this is not a platform for private consultation. sort of is. It is. It's a live show. So put your comments there, please. Hit subscribe. Put your comments there. And we'll try and tackle anything we can with our limited knowledge. And we'll bluff it if we can. But I would be interested in your combined view on Inland Homes. I'm sitting on an unrealised loss of half a shirt sleeve on this. I like that. It was much favoured by Simon Thompson at one time.
It's a horror
Something
show.
Does not seem right about this company. So as Simon actually commented on it since, because I do like it. You know, sometimes it's painful to revisit stocks you've recommended before, and sometimes you can ignore them and just move on quietly.
I don't know whether he's commented since. I mean, he would have updated, but I don't know whether he's commented on the latest goings on at this company.
Yeah,
but I mean, you've only got to have a quick look down. It's RNS output to see that something. It's not just
breach
doesn't seem
of the
right.
Covenant.
It isn't right. There are some severe financial problems at this company. Wow. The board's been replaced. This Inland ZDP, which you will see in the RNS, is another listed entity, INLZ, which is zero dividend preference shares, which basically, this company seems to have been put together to basically lend money to Inland. it's a really convoluted state of affairs. The breach of loan covenants with HSBC, and it has renegotiated loan covenants before. Down refinancing projects. The shares are suspended. They have been since April because it was unable to publish its 2022 accounts, and it still hasn't. More than something doesn't seem right, it isn't right. Something's gone very, very badly wrong at this company. And whatever you want to do now, you can't do anything because the shares are suspended. Now, the new chief exec is a chap called Jolyon Harrison. Jolyon Harrison. And he spent many years as chief exec of MJ Gleeson. You know, wholesale ball change here. They also, it seems they acquired another smaller house builder in the north of England. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're about to sort of shift their strategy to that from lots of what were big projects in the south. Really significant turnaround ahead of this company, led by, an industry veteran, 50 years in house building, 75 years old. It's all dependent on the bankers, really. Just goes to show what can happen when, markets get a bit tough. And the house building market has got a bit tough, and you're holding the one that hasn't run the business particularly well.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, if you look at all the house builders, pretty much, it's quite surprising out of this because all the house builders, when they, after the great financial crash, they learned about debt. They realize that cheap money, becomes expensive money can do. And like you said, that's happened here. It seems, debt is a very serious thing. It can take, it's like an anchor of a boat. If you get too big an anchor, it can bring the boat underwater. It literally is. I mean, you've got to always pay attention to debt, really have. And especially when if companies are taking on lots of debt when it's cheap money, it doesn't last for long. And even when, and that's the thing, isn't it? Sometimes you think, will we ever get, expensive money again? Or is it always going to be cheap? No, it always goes from, from one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
And that's
the last we know, he's had about 80 million of debt on the balance sheet.
All right.
Debt. Did it update since then? Half years. I can't see it at a glance. But yeah, a lot of house builders have been very cash generative, and it all seems to have gone wrong.
Yeah.
All seems to have gone wrong.
Yeah.
Very unfortunate, and the equity is now subsumed by the debt.
Okay,
if the shares come out of suspension and if they can sort of start to reduce that debt. If the new chief exec can turn a business around, then the equity value will increase quite sharply. But it's a lot of big ifs in this one.
Yeah. Always be careful of that. And like I said, so I would say, Stephen, if you lost half a sleeve, I hope that's like your favourite shirt, because more parts of that shirt may go missing. Maybe John can lend you a beach shirt of his. Who knows?
I haven't got any sleeves.
There we are. another thing here, important thing to look at is debt. A lot of small companies won't get debt, of course, because they're just starting out. That's why they come to the market and raise money by equity. Sometimes you get convertibles if they can't get equity. But Tom says here, listen to the Sondrel investor meet today. Things don't seem as bad as the SP drop. Any view? Now, it seems that Paul, for a while back, Paul Hill took a stake in these, and they are a sort of chip maker designer. And on one hand, you've got debt. On the other hand, if you're loss making, you need cash, you know, and if you haven't got debt, of course, you can't get access to cash. That's also an issue. You know, it's also very serious. So when you're sort of loss making, you've got to think, where's the cash coming from? Where will the cash come from until you become profitable? And the thing with Sondra that struck me, and Paul did say they had a couple of contracts coming in, but if you look at their results in a half year, straight away, revenue up 70%. That's good, you know. A growth in ASIC revenue up 50%, adjusted EBITDA, you know, 400,000. Then you get the cash balance, and you've got 100 grand. Uh-oh.
Well, we had last year.
yeah, exactly. But then, you know, I did a show with Paul last night. He did joke, you know, he said, I've got more than that in my stockbroker account in cash. So I said, why don't you lend him a bit? Because that's the thing. I mean, I don't know what, you know, it's all about cash, isn't it? I don't know if they're going to raise money. And in fact, Paul did cover this on the thing last night. So He does say they need to raise money, of course, somehow. I don't know how they're going to do that. In fact, look at that. I know cash balance decreased by 80%. They got that wrong, haven't they? Look at that.
Yeah, it's not right. 000. It's a bit...
Look at
that doesn't look right in the way that's reported.
That's a mistake there, because they said, you know,
yeah, that is a mistake. That,
minus
that.
70, so they've got literally 600,000. So yeah, so if you scroll down and you think, what are they losing? They lost sort of 1.5 in a million in 6 months. Okay, that, regardless of the revenue, that's what they're losing pretty much. And if you go to cash, if you go to the cash flow statement, even more. What cash they got? Then you look at the you know, they said 130 grand. And they got this, the cash flow statement in here. What are they actually losing in operations? Net cash, you know. So, yeah, net cash from operations is 1.8. So they're going to need to, if you roughly double that and add a bit more, let's say 2 million, 4 million they're losing a year, unless it improves, then they're going to need that for 12 months. So, you know, it's, I would say wait until they raise some money. But I would say if they do raise money, then it's worth a look. Because if top line is growing and they're going to be, you know, they've got a site to profitability, maybe... is a good investment here, but that cash obstacle is very tricky. Be careful. They need cash. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if he said that. Did he say where it's coming from on that investor meet thing? Because you know you need cash. Everyone needs cash. You know? You need cash to survive. Now look at that.
Yeah, not when I've looked at it very closely. And that's an ugly chart. That's an ugly chart.
But so, you know, he's, I don't know, did he address that? I don't know if he did. Come back on a comment on that. I don't know if he addressed that, Tom, but let me know. So Gregory says, do you ever can you cover your chart setups? What are the parameters you set in your chart so there are a consistent view on all charts? Click on. Yeah, I do look at that. We'll go through some stocks now and look at charts anyway. Do you guys, Gregory says, ever trade? Like take advantage of shares drifting lower after news event is done. No, I never want to trade. I've tried trading many times. Have you ever traded, John? Jump in. It's a false economy. There are very few people that are good at trading, you know. And if you look at all these sort of trading websites, CFDs, spread bettors, they'll say 80% of people who trade with lose money. Now, if you just look at stats and odds and probability, that's a huge figure to get over. So only 20% of people are making money, you know, pretty much. And those are probably long-term traders been doing it for a long time. And they know all about risk rewards, all that stuff. So I wouldn't bother trade because, you know, it's hard to predict a trend over a short period of time, isn't it? But investing, hopefully, is going in the right direction over long term, you know? So you're probably it's on your side more.
You know? I don't trade. Well, I do know. I think there's a lot of people out there selling you equipment to trade, the means of trading, the approach, and I always wonder, like, if you're so good at trading, why are you selling trading courses?
Exactly, that's it all the time. So on my YouTube channel,
I don't get it.
Yeah, particularly this one guy, he's always posted, right, that's just another 30 grand I've made today on trading cable, and he does that all the time. And here I am, he's getting the helicopter, or he's bare top going swimming. He said, I've made millions of pounds. I'm thinking, yeah, well, if you're making millions of pounds, mate, why are you selling courses for 300 quid? What's the point of that?
Money? Yeah, it puzzles me. It really puzzles me.
And I just think, how come people haven't looked into this? How come people are not looking into that? It's obviously some kind of scams going on. If you're a multi-millionaire, why do you need 500 quid from a retail punter who wants to learn trading? Don't make no sense to me, you know?
Don't make no sense to me.
Okay, let's look at some stories. Journeo. I've gutted I didn't get into Journeo.
Yeah, share price is nice.
But look at the, if you look at the news on Journeo, okay, just the news that's coming out a while back. And I looked at them, and I'll show you a chart of these where you should have gone in, 33 million. But I mean, if you look at all these contract wins, it's like purchase order, contract win. Now, you can't invest on that alone, but it's just a scroll. In fact, they did a fundraise there to acquire a company. But contract win, purchase order, Dublin Airport agreement, it came non-stop, you know?
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Explain what they do, John, if you could.
They do basically transportation information systems. You know, so if you're at a bus stop and there's a sign telling you where the next bus is due, they're doing that and all the back end. If you're, you know, at the railway station or you're on a train and you hear, you know, next stop announcements, that's what they do. Yeah. They're basically integrated transport information systems, for want of
yes, and it's good because they get this, they supply the, what I quite like about the business, they supply the hardware and the software as a service as well. So software updates, upgrades, and all that stuff, that is a recurring revenue. So the hardware, of course, lower margin, but big chunky sort of contracts come in with that.
Yep.
And then they got the recurring revenue, which is smaller, but it's nice. But this is, look at the chart on this. For a while, I thought I missed out here, right? And you can see, I don't know who asked about this, but you can see there, I many people don't trade moving averages, but I like it because all they are is an indication of the price action. So they, of course, a lagging effect, but it smooths out the price action. So you can see a break here above, a pretty big break above 200-day moving average. This is called the Golden Cross, where 50-day crosses that. And then it's a steep rise up here. That's very good. But you may have thought I missed out here. Then it hit a range, and you can see this range. They tried for a long time to break out this range, and that lasted from February 21, pretty much, to March 23.
Yeah, I'm really tempted by this one, actually.
Well, I was watching it here. I like this. The contracts go, I never pull the trigger. And all of a sudden...
Well, I don't think it's too late to pull the trigger. I just looking at the valuation. I mean, you know, 23 forecast P is 10.2. 24 forecast P, 9. You know, it's got cash on the balance sheet. You know, it's acquiring. So it's made two recent acquisitions. One this week, whose name escapes me, Multi-Q, I think it was called, and another last year. And, you know, this is sort of, it's one of those niches that, you know, once you've got that foothold, it's going to be very hard for anyone else to break into it because it's sort of, you know, why would you? You know, who can come along and rip all this stuff out and put it back in? So it becomes quite sticky, you know, these contracts. And as it all moves to software as a service, that makes it stickier still. And it also, you know, gives the company great revenue visibility. You know, so you know, it's great. And there's sort of regulatory drivers behind it. You know, there's sort of safety systems that they offer as well. So, you know, things to help, basically help, you know, bus drivers not knock Jeremy Vine off his bike. That sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So you know, it seems it's got everything that you know public transport systems need, and that really is translating into extremely strong performance. And, you know, there's very shrewd acquisitions alongside it as well to take it into new markets. So Northern Europe, the latest one. Yeah, I mean it's cracking. And what we do know as well, I mean the whole argument this week about the postponement of the petrol car sale ban. Mm-hmm. One thing it has highlighted is that, you know, there is a real paucity of public transportation in many, many areas of the country. And this is very, very poor and it needs to be addressed. You know, there is a need. If, you know, it's all very well saying people need to shift to electric cars, but actually what should be happening is we should be investing much more in public transportation infrastructure. You know, buses in rural areas where, you know, at the moment, sort of, you might be lucky if one comes along every week and get people onto public transport. So not only is it already doing well in the market as it exists, shit, about to run out of power, but this market, it has to grow if you know, as almost as a sort of side effect of net zero.
Yeah.
Justin, I'm going to run and get my power because I'm going to run out. Don't let that happen again. Waffle on for a minute.
All right, I will. Okay. No worries. Okay, so that's Journeo there. Let's just go through some of the stuff on the Greenlytics. We'll talk about that in a bit. But most followed today is, in fact, you know what? Some people love to jump on the old, awesome trade, the falling knife trade. You know, this is Kettle. And for a while, it's done well. We talked about this yesterday. And I would say, though, this is a good look at the charts as well. I would say, don't jump on a falling knife. Sometimes they work out if you know like that is a falling knife. You know, sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't.
There you go, professionalism at its finest.
Yeah. I would go with trends is your friend, is cliches hang around for a reason. I like Strix is the most followed today, John. Kettle is a ticker, of course, and they do safety, don't they, for kettles and that stuff, but you know.
Yeah, it's funny now. I did surprise me to see that as most followed.
Well, it's performed quite well. If you look at it, I mean, you know, from the listing, whatever it did, 132, it shot up to 380. And I said, whenever you get that kind of hype in a stock, it hangs around, even though people think, and now it's fallen off a cliff. It's down at 58 pence, you know, half of what it listed at. People are thinking, oh, I'll jump on there. But I would just wait. You know, there's plenty of time. It'll have to get above these moving averages, start an uptrend. There's two things. There's the trends and there's ranges, okay? Avoid downtrends. Don't try and avoid ranges. Try and get in on the uptrend. And if you see this happen before, when it's even if you look on a simple level, like take the 50-day moving average off and look at the times it's sort of broken above 200-day and made a new high. And so you can say, okay, it needs to make a new high up here. And then it starts to go, that was dash for cash crash. That way everyone was scared then. Then it's gone back above that. It's gone up. And then all of a sudden, look at that. Even if you look at that, when it hasn't touched the 200-day moving average, you know, since the COVID dash for crash in 2020. And then all of a sudden, it did in October 2021. That's your first warning sign. And will it get it back above that? No, it didn't. So if you just paid attention to that, then you wouldn't have been in trouble. You know, and that's it's a very simple way of doing it, but you have to question why it's been strong in the uptrend. And all of a sudden, it comes off from 380, breaks that £3 level, and then doesn't get back above it. You know, okay, there's weakness there. There's net supply coming in there. People are selling for some reason. So even if you didn't look at the news, you think there's something going wrong. The trend is breaking down.
Well, one thing I'd say about companies, but you know, where they have run into trouble, whether that, you know, going back to Inland Homes and, you know, Strix not quite in the same league of trouble, but certainly the, you know, the debt, as we said yesterday, has been cranking up and there's been some real trading headwinds there. But, you know, it often takes companies a very, very long time to resolve these problems. You know, once these issues have hit, you know, turning them around, I think people underestimate how hard it is to turn around, you know, a company that's gone wrong.
Absolutely. I've been way too many times too early on a turnaround, and literally you would get three or four or even, you know, disappointing releases after you thought the turnaround has happened. And sometimes they never, ever work. Sometimes they never work, you know, and they end up, I'm not saying it'll happen there, but I've been in companies I thought the CEO has been saying positive stuff, and it doesn't work. And all of a sudden, the craters, and you think, oh, that's hard. It's hard to turn something around.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we've seen it a few times. You know, what's another one that I can think of?
Gfinity is what I was in. Turn around from CEOs after CEOs, new CEO come in, through a really good plan about focusing on digital media and all that stuff. But then all of a sudden, the bear market hit, funding dried up. You know, advertising revenues went down on the media side, and you realise, that's hard.
Avon, do you remember Avon Protect? I used to be Avon Rubber and then became Avon Protection.
Yeah.
Sells things like gas masks for...
It went from Avon Rubber to Avon Protection.
Yeah, because they used to sell rubber products. Strangely, the history of the Avon company...
Avon Rubber to Avon Protection.
Yeah, well, they used to sell things like, you know, back in a long, long time ago, the golf balls, you might Avon golf ball, tyres. But this company, Avon Rubber, had got to essentially two divisions, one selling gas masks, one selling milking equipment, of all things. And the milking equipment business was always troublesome, and they eventually got rid of that. So they just had this business that was focused on gas masks, which they sold into, you know, the military, the police, you know, that kind of company, that kind of organisation, really sophisticated breathing apparatus. And everyone loved it. And then they started, you know, sort of bought a few things, started to try and expand. I think expanded to helmets, you know, ballistics protection. And it was disastrous. And, you know, you look at that price today, you know, that was just warning after warning after warning. And I think people would want to buy back in because it was a company that had done them well in the past. But, But, well, you know, it just never happened.
One of the most read today is Vast Resources. And I've seen people on Twitter, you know, basically ramping it. And I think, first of all, I mean, I would say, you know, there's three things when you're in for me anyway, what I look at, I'm trying to stick to it. Fundamentally, I always look at companies first. I will always look for companies fundamentally first. I mean, do research on a company, the valuations, you know, revenue, all that stuff, the sector they're in, you know, do they have something special? What's different about them? And there aren't a multitude of companies out there. There are special and there are in sectors that are growing. So you can cut down, and I look at smaller cap companies as well. So cut down your research. But I mean, and then after your fundamentals are happy with the company, then you go look at the chart, because it can be in a downtrend for some reasons. Maybe, like I say, maybe it's in a turnaround. People don't realize it's changing sector or changing the business model slightly that's improving, and people haven't caught up with it. Then you look at trends. You're thinking, okay, you know, then you look at the technical of the chart and thinking, should I get in yet? And if you look at this a couple of times, even Vast, you know, people are hoping for this sort of, the way it rallied recently. I mean, let's move this. I got the thing in the way there. Let me just move that. So if you look at the rally that happened recently, a huge rally, you know, from what, 1.6, was it a couple hundred percent there, wasn't it? I can't see the thing, it's in the way. Hang on, let me just move this in the way. On one day, you know, it went up, what was that? 160%. And people hope for this rally again sometime. They now release news of a strike. So if you just got in when it, 200-day moving average happened and got out, I mean, this is in a downtrend anyway, if you look at it, but you wouldn't be in too much trouble. Now, I've seen people ramping this, and it's nowhere near up.
Well, this is the diamond. This is the diamonds, isn't it? I mean, it's all about the diamonds. Really. They've obviously got the mine in Romania, but there was basically an order in that spike came when basically it was a historic parcel of quite a large carat of diamonds, rough diamonds, which was being held by the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, was granted to VAR. So, you know, it's like they were expected to get these diamonds back. And I don't think it's happened.
No, it's still in the, it's a lot of stuff going on. They're thinking, what's going on here? And where's the thing?
Yeah. So that's the issue.
This has come from, though. It's, you know, it's, I mean, I remember when I first started in podcasts and I got the original CEO on, which he's gone now.
Mm.
A lot of people talked about how huge it's going to be. And it's sadly disappointing. I mean, but maybe the diamonds are a turnaround.
But it is huge, but they just need to get them back, don't they? So,
yeah. January 23.
It's a very, very, very difficult situation. Just sort of, again, it goes back to something we speak of quite a lot, which is, you know, some mining jurisdictions are tricky.
Zimbabwe and Romania. Oh, yeah, you get your work out.
Romania's not too bad. Zimbabwe, on the other hand, I would probably think twice about investing in.
Okay, so that's Codal on the other hand. It's a good chart on that. They've got update project development. I don't know what the update is. I don't know if you read this view. Codal exits in Mali to welcome Hanan's key representatives there. That's all about, of course, lithium. But it has recently...
West African lithium. Exciting area.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at that... Oh, let's take that off. You can see even here, you know, you're up above the 200... Oh, you're messing around with it here, flirting with the 200 moving average... And then all of a sudden, it breaks up to new highs, previous highs. See, let me just get rid of this bit here. This is, I don't want that on there. You know, and if you look at that, you want to break up to new highs, and it's done it there pretty much. Broke 50-day moving average, broke up to new highs, and broke again, up again. And it's come back down, look, and it's almost used that 200-day moving average. So that seems quite decent there. That is an uptrend, or, you know, seemingly towards an uptrend rather than a downtrend, which is nice. And let's go back to the bit of content here on Vox.
Renalytics, yeah. Kidney test.
Okay. Did you see that story today about on the BBC about that girl who said, I think it was a kidney transplant, she will not need now any more immunosuppressants? BBC. And this is the first of the choice. There we are. No, in fact, where is it? News. Let me just get this up. Where was it? Oh, there we are. It's kidney. It is kidney. I thought this was amazing. So, the girl receives UK first rejection-free kidney from mum. And basically, Great Ormond Street, they've used bone marrow from the donor, as her mother, accepts a new organ as her own. So she was taken off immunosuppression, which you have to have. If you have any kind of organ transplant, you have to keep having these pills so the body doesn't reject the organ. She doesn't need this now, removing the risk of long-term side effects. That's phenomenal. It's lovely to see that the UK is doing this. I don't know if any other country's on this, but... So that's amazing. Anyway, let's go back to... Sorry.
It's AI-enabled. It's a blood test for type 2 diabetes. And the good news for this company is that it's basically getting a lot of insurance coverage over the US.
Yeah.
And this latest news is further expansion of that insurance coverage. Diabetes is a huge problem in the US. An absolutely, well, it's a huge problem everywhere.
Everyone's getting fatter, let's be honest. Our lives have become too convenient. We're eating crap food, not doing enough exercise, and we're watching too much stuff on the TV or the internet.
Well, it's sedentary lifestyles and, as you say, you know, very poor diets. One of the biggest contributors to this is, of course, sugar.
Sugar, salt. I said to my kids.
Not so much. Sugar. Salt. Sugar is the problem.
Those two things make food really tasty. Salt. And the thing is, they will kill you if you have too much of them. Simple as that.
Well, sugar will kill you more quickly, for sure, than salt.
Well, that's the competition. Which was more evil, salt versus sugar? Comment below. More evil, salt or sugar?
Yeah, you would remember. So both of them, you know. Well, I'm not even sure about salt. There was a strange thing about that.
Salt is really bad. You get high blood pressure with that. You can get strokes, heart attacks. Mm. You know, so it is bad. Salt and sugar.
Well, there are companies working on that, as we know. Microsalt.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, that what's that company in America that are now doing it's an anti-obesity drug, and literally they can't supply enough. So far, only in America, they're supposed to be coming to Europe, but people are losing weight like crazy. It's like basically it makes the food taste like cardboard. But
that sounds
good. That's the way forward. Technology, right? You can, sooner or later, you won't have to do any exercise. Technology will do everything. It's like you can eat what you want. You just, I don't know how it'll do it, but technology will beat everything in the end.
Okay. sugar is bad for you. Sugar in vast quantities is very bad for you. And I saw this amazing video the other day. It was a guy, he was in Dunkin' Donuts. And he had it was like a latte, or, you know, whatever, some of them milkshakes. And he said, in this cup, is this much sugar. And it's basically a third of it was processed sugar. That was fewer than you would get in a, you know, a box of something like 12 donuts. You know, and on top of that, you know, there's all these sort of additives that are essentially sugar-based, corn syrup, that kind of stuff. You know, it's outrageous, the amount of sugar that's being pumped out there. Unless that is regulated, then more people will develop diabetes. Apparently, it's 1 in 10 in the US at the moment. And about a quarter of people who have diabetes don't even know they've got it, which is why this test is so important. Yeah. And ultimately, I don't think that we should, you know, and I think any drug developer would agree with this. I really don't think that we should depend upon technology and drug development to save us from our bad choices about not exercising and eating vast quantities of sugar.
I agree with that. But what you can do, surely by now there's technology out there that can replicate sugar and salt that's not harmful to you. Or is it because before they had saccharin and all that stuff? I don't know if it was saccharin, but it was sugar
stevia.
Replacement.
Stevia was the one.
Yeah, but there's one that says if you eat too much of it, it's cancerous. So it's like, hang on a second, can't we get one that's not bad? Yeah, whatever it is, yeah. Can't we get something that, you know, replicates the sweet and salt taste, but it's not cancerous, so it's not bad for you? You can see, again, Renalytix, look at that.
There is a company.
9.36 to, it's literally 90% loss, but now it's back to flirting with that 200-day moving average, so maybe we're seeing a bottom here.
You know, it's going to start generating some serious turnover starting this year. So 3.6 this year, 9 the year after, 24.6 the year after that. And we're still fairly heavily loss-making, so on a forecast basis, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a tiddler, but just going back to the sugar thing, there is a company that I used to look at. It's not listed anymore. Pure Circle, that was doing stevia, which was the replacement.
Yeah, okay. UK Oil and Gas testing update, they're up there. Blenco's got a 5 million grant. Optibiotics, planned launch of Optibiotics products with Boots. They're one of the risers today as well. They and Blenco are. Dispenser Group, they just changed their name for something else, and they're up for some reason. I've no idea why. One of the losers here is Comtoir.
Yeah.
Do you know who Comtoir are?
I do now. I must admit I didn't before.
Yeah, I did. They do these Lebanese sort of restaurants.
Yeah.
They're popping up everywhere.
I had a quick peek. They look quite nice, don't they?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's a very tough market for restaurateurs and all that stuff. You've got the cost of living crisis going on. People are spending a bit less. You've also got the cost of, I mean, I've seen a lot of evidence recently saying now, like you said, food prices have sort of stabilized, input prices and all that, ingredients and clothes. So they're stabilizing at a higher level, of course. But they do say here, what does he say? Here we are. trading continues to be impacted by significant events outside of our direct control, such as the ongoing public transport industrial action, which now is the second year. We also have a relatively poor summer in terms of terrace weather. Both these issues have adversely. So they do say that they do sort of leave it on a sort of positive. They, you know, strong financial position, remain cautious in the immediate future. As macro challenges continue, but we are optimistic about longer-term prospects for the business. And they do have cash. And in fact, how much are they losing here?
About 2 million outflow this year, cash-wise.
Okay. And cash-wise,
they've got about 5.7, I think, left in the business, net.
Okay, so they got 7.6 at the end of the year there. I mean, they're not indebted in any way, but they've got a little bit of debt. 600,000.
No, it's 5.7 net. Their cash position, which is good. You know, as I agree with. I mean, I don't really like it when companies blame the weather for stuff. But if you're a company that sort of depends a bit on outdoor dining, and this, you know, this summer has been an absolute washout. Their locations should be good locations in, you know, airports, in stations, and in sort of nice London locations, and you know, well-to-do towns, well-heeled areas. So, you know, they're less likely to be impacted on that basis. Again, it looks like a nice little formula, you know, rolling out some with franchising. We've seen this type of formula be successful before.
Yeah. And then to my mind, they're not expensive. They're reasonably priced. I mean, you're talking about 14.8 million for half year. You know, so if you double that, say 13 million, and if they can make a profit off that, they've got sort of 5 million in cash. They are literally, if that's right, a 7 million market cap.
They're
demanding. But, anyway, that turnover, if they start making, if they get a small percentage on the bottom line there, it's going to help a lot. So,
But they're bouncing along basically at the moment. You know, on the profit line, sort of. They've delivered pre-tax profits in the past, which is not to be scoffed at. I must admit I hadn't been aware of this company, but I do think it's interesting. You've seen companies like Fulham Shaw in the past, you know.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, go through some tough times when trading gets tough, but you know, there is a formula for making these sort of companies work.
Yeah, someone said say sugar replacements, Optibiotics. Do they do that?
Do they?
I don't know, but they're up. Look at that. They're a cracking rally of late from 8 pence up to 40 pence, pretty much. They have come back a bit, but that news on Boots has helped them rally today. But what's the market cap of these then, Opti?
About 24 million. Trying to share price this.
So, are they generating?
Not a lot.
Hang on. So that's always worries me when a company sort of doesn't put any financial results there. Where's the financials?
Huh? Very, very far down.
Hang on a sec. Is that right?
Very, very far down.
We are. Hang on a sec. What's going on there? I don't understand. So that's all in the potential, is it? Are they hoping to generate loads from the Boots deals?
You would. Is the implication.
Okay, all right. Cash of 1 mil. Have they raised any? I don't understand the rally there, to be honest. So there we are. But there again, if you look at that, if you take the position on the 200-day moving average there, you know, at 12.8, you'd be laughing. salt and sugar.
I've been keeping an eye on this one. I'm gonna keep my mouth shut because there's shenanigans.
Oh, okay, is it? Someone said you've interviewed Vast Resources many times. Why didn't you ask some tough questions? Well, it's a bit like being a chat show host, you know? If I do that, they won't come back on. It's like, you know, and people and Shield prefer to have them on rather than not have them on. There we are. And from the show, a lot of defensives. FTSE 100 plays doing well recently, like Vodafone. It's just oversold, bounces, or trend. I had an alert come up on Vodafone recently on my chart. I don't know why. Sometimes I put these alerts on and they don't do anything for a long time. And then I'll explain where I put my alert on. But if you see Vodafone chart there, I always put alerts on 15 moving average. So if it crosses that, and like, you know, like I say, it lasted it there, but it crossed it. And that's, I don't know, is that a bottom? It could be. It's come down a long way, Vodafone, isn't it? Look at that. Literally, look at it. Multi-year downtrend from 2017. It's been coming downhill, you know. A couple of fake breaks, but it hasn't really.
It's been horrible sector telecoms.
How long have we been on here? We've been on 3/4 an hour.
Yeah, there's no news today. How has that been possible?
I don't know. Let's wrap it up. let me just scroll down to some just top stories here. mortgage rates hoping to come down. Well, they have to. The Bank of England are going to reduce the interest rates, guaranteed, because they're crashing, they're trashing the economy. And so they'll have to bring the interest rates down.
Yeah, and then everyone will start moaning about savings rates.
It's a couple of times now. It's the same studios, John, but the and I say this because you have to realise sometimes when we're looking at a cost of living crisis, economy slowing down, you have to look for pockets of growth and invest in those areas, you know? And I think a couple of now positive signs from the film industry, even there's a strike on in the US, Harry Potter movie set film, this is Warner Brothers, they're going to expand by more than 200 million. They're double the size of their sound stages in Hertfordshire. And they're going to be a hub for the DC studios. But the project is expected to create 4,000 direct or indirect jobs. Now, indirect, that would be ADF facilities. Surely they'll be helping them out there with certain things, catering and all that stuff.
There's a lot of freelance jobs, production in the movie industry as well. So,
yeah, but
it's just a huge, rapidly growing industry. Very underrepresented on the stock market. If you've only got really one way to play it, as far as I'm aware, which is ADF. Or you go to the end customer. You know, Netflix isn't Disney or whatever.
Yeah,
but I prefer the ADF approach.
Yeah, no. And one other thing, I didn't understand this at all. I just thought at the time the Competition and Markets Authority were just getting involved for getting involved's sake. So just let business do what they want to do, for heaven's sake. And so do you remember they blocked this deal of Microsoft and the Call of Duty and cloud? And now they tweaked the deal and they're now happy with it. And the difference is it didn't want Microsoft to dominate games in the cloud, you know, and all that stuff. And so Microsoft then submitted a restructured deal for the Competition Watchdog last month. Basically, another new offer. Microsoft have agreed to transfer the rights to stream Activision games from the cloud to a French video game publisher, Ubisoft, 15 years. But why are you doing it? You're giving it to the French now? Well, I don't understand. And they said, no, we're happy with this deal. Just get out of the way of business, okay? Your politicians doing the same kind of stuff. Let business do business. I mean, people will choose with their feet. There's no problem with gaming the cloud. Can you? Have you ever said, anyone said, do you know what? There's so lack of choice in the cloud. It's like, who cares? Idiots, aren't they? Why are these people even there?
No, I mean, there's another one that's facing the scrutiny of the CS. CMA at the moment, which is CVS, has some numbers out today. The veterinary group. Really nice numbers. Really, really nice numbers. But unfortunately, that CMA cloud hanging over it has, you know, really taken the sparkle off the shares.
This is what happens, isn't it? If you are being charged too much, right? This is how the market works. If you are being charged too much for pet food or veterinaries, then the margins get bigger for that company. And then all of a sudden, other companies say, look at the margins in that sector. And they jump into that space and it brings the margins down because they offer something more competitive. That's how the market works. Competition Markets Authority just jumping in there and messing up everything.
CVS basically said the prices of vets is related to the shortage of vets in the market, not gouging. And anyway, my parents' poor old Jack Russell had to have, which is 16 years old, so getting on a bit, had to have most of its teeth removed this week. And I tell you what, taking a whole dog's teeth out is a lot cheaper than getting your own teeth taken out.
Is he going to get dentures?
Yeah, that's right, doggy dentures.
I'd like that.
Someone should invent them.
Really perfect teeth from a Jack Russell. I'd love to see that. It'd be perfect. It's just
doggy dentures coming to the stock market near you soon.
There we are, John. That's what me and you'd be on Dragon's Den next month.
Excellent. Let's do it.
Right. Have a nice weekend, everyone. Thanks very much. If you liked this episode, please hit that like and subscribe if you haven't, and share it if you could. Speak to you next week, John. Cheers, fella.
Good weekend.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.